Thank you. And thank you to all of you guys for being here today. The research that I'll be presenting today is a portion of my dissertation work focusing on the effect of lipid-extracted algae on soil physicochemical dynamics. And to begin, I'd like to provide you a few advantages of algae compared to first-generation feedstocks. And that would be the cultivation of algae in brackish or wastewater. And as a photoautotrophic organism, these organisms have the ability to recycle some of the CO2 emissions and use that as their carbon source. And pertaining to the food versus fuel debate, and unlike corn ethanol, which is under constant criticism, algae has the ability to reduce or even mitigate some of that debate over food versus fuel. And also, it offers high productivity per acre of cultivation with as much oil production as 135 times greater than soybean oil per acre. Looking at the algae fuel production process, we start by cultivating algae, extract the oils, and then that oil is then converted to a biofuel. Looking at this process, there is one thing that's missing. In order for algae fuel to be price competitive at the pump while maintaining its economic sustainability, and that one thing would be high-value co-products. And so one possibility would be to use the waste material after oil extraction as a soil amendment. So from that, I asked myself, what are some of the potential benefits and or problems that are associated with using lipid-extracted algae residue as a soil amendment? First things first, I wanted to characterize not only the soil that we were going to be using for this study, which was classified as a sandy clay loam, but also to characterize the amendments of LEA, or lipid-extracted algae, and the wheat straw. The algae was cultivated in Pecos, Texas, and is classified as Nanochloropsis salina. The Parita soil, if we look at the top line here, has a near neutral pH and a low electrical conductivity. It has a low to average organic carbon and total nitrogen for cultivated Texas soils, and also the macronutrients were not limiting. For the amendments, the LEA has a relatively alkaline pH and a very high EC, whereas the wheat straw was a near neutral pH and had a much lower EC value. Comparing the carbon to nitrogen ratios for the LEA and the wheat straw, the LEA had a much lower C to N ratio, whereas the wheat straw was much higher. And so this would indicate to us that the LEA would be much more mineralizable, whereas the wheat straw would possibly be immobilized in the soil. And then looking at the potential elemental additions with the 3% LEA amendment application, there's more than sufficient nutrient availability upon mineralization with this LEA application. The one concern is the excess of salts that we're going to be adding to the soil, specifically pertaining to the calcium and sodium additions. The study objective was to quantify the effects of LEA on soil quality in a filled environment by determining the aggregate formation and distribution of macroaggregates, microaggregates, and the silt and clay fraction, measuring soil organic carbon and total nitrogen within these fractions, and also determining the carbon source in the aggregate fractions by utilizing the natural abundance of delta 13 carbon of the Parita soil, LEA, and wheat straw. And so from that characterization, we were able to hypothesize that it may be that we will decrease aggregate formation due to the addition of salt, and we would essentially increase dispersion. And then also we hypothesized that the LEA carbon would be readily available for mineralization and therefore lead to lower carbon storage. The study was conducted at the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Station in Beeville, Texas. And as I mentioned, the soil is classified as a Parita sandy clay loam. The treatments included a positive control with added nitrogen and phosphorus, and then the amendments were a 1.5% and 3% LEA application, and then a combination treatment of 1.5% LEA and 1.5% wheat straw. And this was done with the hopes that maybe by adding the wheat straw along with some of the algae that we would negate some of the salinity effects. And these amendments were made on a dry weight basis. Due to the lack of sufficient quantities of the algae material, we had to use these PVC columns so that we could amend just the soil within the columns to look at soil quality. And so the bottom 15 centimeters of the column was just unamended prete soil. The top 15 centimeters was where we actually made these amendments, incorporated the LEA and the wheat straw into the soil. And then the columns were placed in these holes, 96 holes, by the way. Lots of holes to dig with post-hole diggers. After those, the soil was amended, the column was placed in the ground, and then sampling was done at 24 hours, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and 12 months after treatment application. Once the columns were removed, they were separated into depth increments of 0 to 5 centimeters, 5 to 15, and 15 to 30 centimeters. And then within that depth, we looked at aggregate formation calculated as a mean weight diameter using a dry sieving technique and separating that into macro aggregates or greater than 250 micrometers, micro aggregates at 53 to 250 micrometers, and the silt and clay fraction, which was less than 53 meters. And then within each one of those depths and fraction, we looked at the delta 13 carbon, delta 15 nitrogen, soil organic carbon, and total nitrogen. And as I mentioned, because there was that natural difference in abundance of carbon 13, we were able to calculate the proportion of carbon within the aggregate that was coming from the source was the LEA or the algae material. Moving on to results. The first thing that I'll present to you is the ANOVA results with in-depth increment and across time for the mean weight diameter. And for the depth increments, the only, other than at time zero, the only differences that we saw were within that 5 to 15 centimeter depth. So I'll concentrate on that. And the bottom figure here shows mean weight diameter on the y-axis, and then we have time, 0 to 12 months, on the x-axis. And if you notice, it wasn't until the 9 months that we saw that the control was not significantly greater than any of the amendment treatments. Then at 12 months, we did see that the 3% LEA, which is the green bar, and the 1.5% LEA, the red bar, was greater than the wheat straw, significantly greater than the wheat straw treatment. And then also looking at soil organic carbon within those fractions, after 12 months after the application, we have soil depth on the y-axis, so the 0 to 5, 5 to 15, and 15 to 30 centimeter increments. And then on the x-axis is the soil size fraction organic carbon in grams per kilogram. And this is separated into the organic carbon within macro aggregates, micro aggregates, and the silt and clay. Looking at the top figure, which was the macro aggregate organic carbon, there was no difference in treatments compared to the control for the 0 to 5 centimeters. However, at the 5 to 15 centimeters, we did see that the amendment treatments were greater than the control. And the same is true for that bottom depth increment. And then looking at the microaggregates, the 1.5% LEA plus 1.5% wheat straw or combination treatment, along with the 3% LEA, had greater organic carbon than the control in the 1.5% LEA. And the same is true for the bottom two increments as well. Looking at the silt and clay, which had much greater organic carbon compared to the other two fractions, once again, the combination treatment and the 3% LEA treatment had much greater organic carbon. Since we did see these increases in organic carbon, the next step would be to look at what the proportion of that organic carbon was coming from the LEA. So the top two figures show the 1.5% LEA treatments within the 0 to 5 centimeter depth on the left and the 5 to 15 centimeter depth on the right. For the 1.5% LEA treatment, there was a greater percentage of LEA carbon within microaggregates compared to the macro and the silt and clay. The same is also true for the bottom two figures, which is the 3% LEA carbon source, where there was greater carbon in microaggregates 12 months after treatment application. Moving on to nitrogen, same thing as with the carbon, where we have it separated into macroaggregates, microaggregates, and the silt and clay. The 3% LEA treatment, which is the green line, was significantly greater at the top two depths within macroaggregates. And then for microaggregates, once again, it was greater with the 3% LEA treatment, and the same with the silt and clay. From this, I concluded that there was definitely an increased aggregation or mean weight diameter with the 3% LEA application. LEA appears to be as stable or more stable than the wheat straw, which is surprising if you go back to that C to N ratio, we figured it would have been opposite. And with that, there's the possibility that we could get greater carbon and nitrogen sequestration with LEA amendments. LEA carbon added to the soil decreased in the silt and clay fraction over time and increased in the macroaggregate fraction from 6 to 12 months, leading to the conclusion that we are seeing aggregate formation over time. Further field research would include effects in subsequent years after application and then also looking at lower rates and frequency of repeated applications. And with that, I would like to thank my funding sources, my advisors throughout all of this, and also take any questions from you guys.
Any questions?
Yes.
So what do you think the mechanisms for the carbon being roughly translocated from the silt and clay fraction to the macroaggregate fraction?
It would just be the hierarchy of aggregate formation over time. So it starts with we would have microaggregates forming and then eventually an increase in macroaggregates over time.
So with those silt clay, do you think it's just like mineral associated, or are you just talking about like aggregate protected versus like mineral associated carbon?
I think it would be the mineral associated carbon. Because that would be the free silt and clay. It's not within the aggregate fractions.
Either.
I was hoping somebody would ask that. So that was, like I said, it was very much a surprise. So going into the literature, I found that algae within its cell wall contains a compound termed alginins. These alginins are a macromolecule that are resistant to biological and chemical degradation. And also they aid in fossilization of algae within ocean sediments. And so to me, that's the perfect, I don't think it could be any more clear what was causing this sequestration or storage of carbon. For farmers? As far as using it as a soil amendment? Well, there would definitely need to be some ag engineers involved in possibly pelletizing the material. I think as a nutrient source, it's excellent. And if it could aid in the sustainability of algae fuel production, but like I said, you couldn't just go out. I mean, it's a super fine, powdery material once the oil is extracted and it's dried, so it would have to be pelletized something before it can be used.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.